Amen. Thank you, choir. Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. Even Vern back there. Welcome to you, Vern. We missed you last week. You didn't fall down the stairs, did you? Okay. Stay on your feet, man. Be here. We're so glad that you're here this morning, and you know, it's just great to see you folks who love the Lord and who desire to worship Him. More than that, the desire to have Him work in your life. And I think that's what, I hope that's the reason you're here. Praise Him, thank Him for what He's doing, and to seek Him to continue to help us, and He'll do that. So as we come this morning and join together to honor the Lord and to praise our God, a few verses from Psalms 92 reads like this. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and in thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, and upon the solemn sound. For thou, Lord, has made me glad. Didn't it make you glad just to be here and to be alive? He has made me glad through thy works. The things that he does for us is wonderful. I will triumph in thy works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Let's praise him.
For him we worship this morning, we're going to use number 213, sing the first and last verse, and Benny will have prayer. It's over.
Loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, he lifted me. Taking sin, he lifted me. From tender hands, he lifted me. From chains of life, to chains of life. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Now on the higher plane I dwell, and with my soul
God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful. And we sing this song, it just reminds us we were like the poor person down in the dumps and down in the gutter, and you lifted us out of it. We're set us on a high rock. We thank you for that. Dear God, we come to you this morning with thanksgiving because you've been so good to us as usual. We praise you and thank you day by day, Heavenly Father, because you're wonderful, loving, kind, and compassionate person that works our lives. We thank you for that. We thank you, dear God, for this past week, and we thank you for the past weekend. And we know, Heavenly Father, that through the so-called Easter season, through the resurrection celebration, we just know, Heavenly Father, that many come to know Jesus as their Savior. And we praise you for that. We praise those people who did a good work in bringing many to know Jesus. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful that the word is still powerful, and it'll lift people out of sin and bring them into the glorious good life you have for them, dear God. And so help us to enjoy that. Help us to be thankful for that. And now, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for each one present here this morning. What an encouragement it is to know we have people that love you. People who are willing to go out of their way to honor you. People who go to great effort, Heavenly Father, to just let people know that we love you and that we serve a great God and a risen Savior. Bless our service to your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, for communion hymn, you're 296, singing the first and fourth verse.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love. on the cruel cross to suffer, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he saved my pardon, in his death made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life had brought me, Son of God to death he free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he saved my pardon, the death that made me free.
And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this another opportunity we have to come to your house on the Lord's day. As we come around your table, we thank you now for the loaf and the cup. Represents your broken and bruised body, the one who died on Calvary's cross. Through him we can have a life and have every blessing. Now be with each individual, let me take of these demons, and put away the world of things. Look to Jesus, the finisher of our faith. His name is burden. In thy name. Amen.
Amen. Father, once again we're thankful to be back in the house this morning. As we're getting back to portion of the day, we ask that you bless and multiply and may be used for life. Be with us through this service, be it days and brings the morning's message. Forgive us when we fail it. We work with us in my name. Amen.
Not only is it good to see you folks today, but also I want to go back to last week and thank you folks for helping to make our Friday evening service and sunrise and our regular service. You folks who invited family, brought family with you to our worship service last Sunday. Thank you for doing that, and we appreciate that. We encourage you to encourage others to come, encourage your neighbor and so forth. And I say this in a kind sense, but you have a better opportunity than I do. You have a more, it's more likely that you can get your neighbor to accept the Lord and to come to church than I can. I can call and call. And one of the thoughts that comes, and you probably have thought this sometime in your life, that there's that preacher, and he's just trying to build up, get numbers and get money and so forth. They have that. That's an idea that Satan puts in people's minds. But when you talk to your neighbor about the Lord, and when you live your life before them serving the Lord, that's a real impression upon them. So I want to encourage you to continue to do that and make effort to do that. Because there's a lot of people out there that certainly needs to know the Lord. But I thank you for all the things that you did to help things go in the choir and Kathleen, the extra work they did and so forth. Just was a real blessing. And some of the folks said they really appreciate that, really appreciate being here. And so we thank you. We always thank you for your good work that you do. And we know the Lord thanks you because he blesses you like he does. And that's great. So we continue to do that. As we look at our list, what's taking place, Can you believe it? The month is just about over again. And this Friday night will be our fun food fellowship night. And so I always look forward to that. And I'm sorry, but you know, I probably won't be here to do the game. So somebody's going to have to take my place with Homer if it's a good sunshiny evening to beat Michael and Dudo and get that. Where is that trophy, fellas? If that was my trophy, if that was in my possession, I'd have that out here showing it.
Well, we know.
Huh?
We know.
Well, we just want you to do that. So, one of you guys think about that and pair up here with Omer if that be the case and beat those guys. Oh, all right, it's just a fun time. I always look forward to coming to the Fun Food Fellowship night. Okay, what else is the second place here? Our prayer list then. We noticed Fanny and Wayne are not here this morning. Fanny is not well. She's sick. That's some problem. Virginia's absent. She's got allergies and some stomach problem, I understand. And who else is missing here? So be mindful of them. You know, I appreciate it. And Fanny and Wayne so very much because, appreciate everybody here. But I appreciate them because they have to put a special effort, you know. I'm not talking about their age, but you know, Wayne just doesn't get along real well. And Fanny Dixon sees that they come and go. And they come at quite a distance. And that's great. And I understand that the last I talked to Fanny, her brother, or to Wayne, but his brother is doing pretty good. And so that's great. I think that we can look at the people's prayers that has helped to do that. And I haven't asked Tina lately, but Ben, she hasn't said anything to me about it. I then assume that Dad's still doing okay. And I think we'll agree the fact that not only our prayers, but all the prayers that's offered for people like that is what sustains them, because he was pretty well down, wasn't he? And then, boy, that just shows you how that, as he sang that song, lifted, you know, he lifted me. I got this book that talks about, it's got all the lifted words in the Bible that's in there, and there's some comment made about them. And I'm just amazed at how many times that the Bible talks about lifting, lifting, lifting. And you people in your prayers can lift people off their sick bed, can encourage them and so forth and strengthen them. That's what God does, and he wants to know. So it's great. So we have a new one on our list there down. If you see Pat Warren, that's Donna's sister, and she's in rehab and possibly not going to be there too long, but let's pray her a shorter period. Let's just pray that she won't have to stay half as long as she thinks she will and so forth. And when she's been here before a time or two, she got after me. The last time she said, I think she was here for a funeral. And I walked up to her and I didn't just quite recognize her. She said, you know who I am, don't you? And I said, well, if you laugh, I'll know. And we're glad that Donna's back today. And we're just praying that things will keep continue for her. We missed you and in our choir and stuff during resurrection weekend. And so God is at work and doing good things. Your sister done okay? Let's
see. Better.
Better?
I mean, not proven, but she's better.
Yeah, well, that's great. You know, sometimes it takes a while, especially when we get older, these things take a little while to process and strengthen us back up. Who else is on there? We have Pauline's here, Judy Carter's on our list, and keep them in your prayers. And another one that we have on here is Tyler Binion. Y'all remember Tyler? He came for a while and so forth and wanted to accept the Lord, and we really encouraged him and to do follow after the Lord. But right now he's in a bad way. And the best thing that we can do right now is pray for him. Pray for that he will gain in back and that he have the desire that he had when he come and talked to us. And hopefully we can see him, hopefully we can help him some way. I'm like what somebody's already said this morning, you know. Sometimes
people has to help themselves. Before, I don't go with that lottage, you know, that the Lord helps someone that helps herself, because I know the Lord helps people that can't help themselves. And so hopefully the Lord will touch that young man. Other people on here, I'm not sure how they're going. I want to ask you one more time. You people are acquainted with these people, and we ask you to let us know how things is going so we can maybe, I'm quite sure that some of these are doing all right and so forth, but we know that most of them on here aren't. We talk about Phyllis Bruin and so forth and not doing well, and Timmy Carr and so forth and not doing well.
Now he's in the hospital. Timmy's in the hospital and he's just there.
Yeah. And so we don't want to take people off just, you know, and not pray for them. We want to pray for them and pray that God will work in their lives, and he really will. He's demonstrated that in so many ways. The caregivers for those who are in the care homes and so forth, the service people, the leaders of our nation, and the turmoil that's taking place across our nation, if we could just have some unity and peace together. And so that God can bless. You know, sometimes it just, people's got to settle down and be at peace together, and then God can really bless. But when we're all torn apart and so forth, it's hard. I say it, but it's probably not true, but I think it's hard for God to bless people who are just at odds all the time and so forth. They just can't work good in their lives. And when we're rejective to God and his word and so forth, can't work in our lives. And so that's what's happening into our nation. We need people to come back together and seek God, the nursing home, and of course our church here. And again, let's pray that the Lord will put on your heart someone in your neighborhood or someone you're associated with that is in the need of the Lord, and use you to address that in their lives. God is so good and works in such wonderful ways, and we're thankful for that. Let's praise him for it.
How about you?
Thank you.
I'm all right.
Okay.
Well, I don't know why they couldn't do it Monday, but Friday I got a little thing going on that they're going to check to see if there's any blockage and so forth. And so you need, some of you people know how that happens. I don't know. Maxine's had it done a couple of times. She tells me it's a whiz and so forth. But anyhow, they go up and they go through all your things. And so Friday, they're going to do that. And that's going to then help us to make a decision on what we'll do the next. So that's why I say I probably won't be here. And I'm going to scold them. I said, well, why couldn't you do this on Monday? I had something important for Friday night, you know. But we just have to go with that. So thank you for your prayers. You've been a real blessing with your prayers so far. And my daughter and I were yesterday shot in us, and we have, you know, my chart. You all have my chart. And we were on my chart, and we were going down all of this. She said, well, this is all right, and this is all right, this is all right. You're all right here, you're all right there, and all right. We're all right. I said, well, what's the matter with me then if I'm all right? all the things, you know, what do you call them, all the... vitals is all in the range, is all low, and so forth. So I just trust God, and I depend upon the prayers of the people, and we're going to be all right.
For prayer hymn, we'll use number 426, saying the first, fourth verse, and Virgil will have a prayer. This is all stand.
Not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. No matter what.
thank you for the privilege we have today to come here and hear your word and study your word and know your will. We thank you for your written word. We know that whatever we have comes from you. You are our salvation. Father, if it be your will, we ask your healing touch on the ones on the prayer list, the ones in the nursing home, or the shut-ins which are unable to attend. We ask your blessings on Brother Benjamin. We also ask for safety for our men and women in the service. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Imitation Amen. Hymn number 358. At this time, the choir will be special.
The soul. That sails on the sea of time. The storms may come, the winds may blow and rock this ship of mine. But the reason my ship will never sink, and today it's still afloat, my compass is His precious word, and Jesus.
Kathleen and choir. Hey, I want to be on board that ship.
Amen.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, and in the last couple of weeks, you've been reading from 1 and 2 Kings. And so I want to go back there and pick up a message there. Out of 2 Kings chapter 22, Won't be reading a lot of that, but we'll be covering the chapter fairly well, a lot of it. You have just read that, so it's very familiar to you. It begins by saying, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now, really, I think to get an impact here, to get some thought of what's going on, I go back to Solomon, really. And David being the second king, Solomon's third king, and Solomon was a great king and did tremendous things, very wise king, did some stupid things. And had so many concubines and wives. And one of the big things that he, I guess it's fair to say Solomon, one of the stupid things he did was when he was building the temple, he went to Egypt to get lumber. He happened to marry the one of the daughters of Pharaoh of Egypt, who was paganistic, and she brought her paganistic stuff. And Solomon built a shrine, built altars, and even to his other wives, the pagan wives he had, pagan concubines, he built altars for them to worship on, to make sacrifices. And for the Pharaoh's daughter, he built a little shrine for her, built an altar for her. Even Solomon, as wise Solomon, as godly man as Solomon, and as close to God as he was, and as wise as he was, still he then, along with those pagan wives and concubines, offered sacrifices on pagan altars. It didn't please God. God told Solomon the kingdom would be divided. And it would be divided in two sections. And you remember when we talked about the kings, 10 tribes north and 2 tribes south, Israel, Judah, and Israel. So they have kings then set up on them. Ahaz, as we will see here in a little bit, over Israel. Jehoshaphat over the northern kingdom, Judah. And as it is, as we read then, as we looked at the kings, studied the kings, they just fought each other. And even Solomon's brother or sons were like his brothers, fought over the kingdom. And Jehoshaphat and Ahaz were at odds. Judah and Israel were always at odds, fighting and so forth. And they would fight then other kings. And that the scripture, you know, it seems like when you read the scripture sometimes, it seems like it was just a natural thing for kings to go to war with somebody during that year. Sometimes I think we've had presidents that thought they just had to go to war with somebody just to go to war. And that's what they did in the kingship. And they would, this king would overthrow that king, and he would take him into captivity and take his land into captivity. And then this one would fight this one, and they'd fight each other for that. So it's just a real terror among the nations. Now, it brings us down then to chapter 22, Ahaz has done some very terrible things. In fact, Ahab's, the scripture said, you remember we said, Ahab's was the worst king that Israel had ever had. In fact, Ahaz is no doubt the worst king that any kingdom ever had. Did more evil than anybody. And Jehoshaphat is a godly man. In fact, you'll read, you'll be coming into that now in the next few days, in the 1st and 2nd Chronicles. You'll read in 2nd Chronicles, in chapter 17, 18, 19, 20, you will get a good feel of what took place. We just have a little outline here in this passage. And Josaphat, during his time, he had one of the great revivals regarding leading people back to God. He was a godly man. So what we have here is Ahab, king of Israel, and Josaphat. Ahaz, you know the word, I don't know the worst thing, and I guess would probably would be in the worst category that Ahaz did. You know what that was, don't you? Ahaz looked out of his palace window one day, and there was a man by the name of Naboth. Naboth had a vineyard out there that he had inherited. And it was a pretty vineyard. I visualize when I read about that, Naboth, he inherited that and he wanted to just keep it in the best condition. He just wanted it to be a beautiful place. He wanted the kinfolks to know that he had great pride in what he had been given down in his inheritance. And so Ahab could look out on that. It joined his property where the palace was. Ahab lusted after that vineyard. And he went down to Naboth and said, I'll buy your vineyard. It attacks my property and I look over it. I want to buy that. Naboth said, won't sell it. He said, well, I'll give you much more and better vineyards than this, if they could be better vineyards. Naboth said, no. He said, I will not get rid of the inheritance. You know, oftentimes people get an inheritance. The first thing they want to do is get an auctioneer and sell it out, get rid of it, cash in. Naboth said, no, I inherited this and I will not get rid of it. Well, you know the story. He goes back home, cries like a baby, goes, lays on his bed, cries like a baby. And Jezebel, his wife, comes in and says, what's the matter, honey? He said, I just long for Naboth's vineyard. He won't sell it to me. He won't take more property for it. She said, you just rest easy, honey. I'll take care of this. And you know how she went out and got the false witness against Naboth, and they stoned him to death. And she said, now, get up, Ahab, and go claim the vineyard. Elijah came, caught up with him, caught him out there. I visualized Ahab, he's now out there in the vineyard walking around. And the scripture says, Elijah come to him and say, you're going to die. You're going to die. In fact, God's going to take your life soon. But back in chapter 21, in the last few verses, 27 there, following, look what it says. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, the words that Elijah told him, God's after you, buddy, and your day is numbered. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words that he rent his clothes, put on sackcloth and upon his flesh, fasted and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself and before me, because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Wicked Ahab had some little bit of remorse. Wasn't real strong remorse. We all know that as we continue to read about him. But isn't it wonderful that God looked upon this wicked king and said, he's showed remorse and I'll not do what I said, but I'll wait till his son reigns. But now, as you continue to read, you will find out that Ahaz continued to do evil stuff and that changed God's mind. Listen, folks, you can change God's mind. You can do that which is good and be blessed, or you can do that which is bad and you will suffer the consequences. That happened to Ahab. We'll see that later on. But anyhow, here we have in chapter 22 and continue 3 years without. So we had what's taken place here is Ahab has been fighting with Syria and he's been overtaken. And in past, Syria has gained Ramoth of Gilead a tract down there, a Providence or whatever you want to call it, a great bunch of land. And that once belonged to Israel. He took that away from Ahab. And Ahab wants it back. But Ahab, probably these 3 years, Ahab has been, you know, reading between the lines. He's afraid to go because he's going to get his rear end whipped again. So he's waiting for something. And what happened here, I don't exactly know. It says that, and if you look in 2 Chronicles, you'll see it says also that Jehoshaphat went down. Now, did Jehoshaphat go down on his own to visit Ahaz? I don't know. I more want to think that Ahaz invited Jehoshaphat down with the idea, while we're eating, I'm going to try to make a deal with him, a covenant with him. But now, why would Jehoshaphat and Ahaz, who were at odds, they didn't think the same at all. They didn't serve the same God. Jehoshaphat served Jehovah God, was a godly man. Ahaz was as wicked as could be, and he was paganistic, and he worshiped the pagans, gods. They were at odds with each other. They didn't care that much about it. Just like all the other kings, they just would go against them. Why would Jehoshaphat and Ahaz be there? Does anybody know really why it would be there? Raise your hand if you do. I want to ask you. You can just make you think you know. It'd be all right. No, but here's a reason. You remember Jehoram? Jehoram is a son of Jehoshaphat. And if you remember this lady by the name of Athaliah. How many of you remember Athaliah when we went through the Kings? Okay. She is the daughter of Ahaz and Jezebel. They got some family relationship, and there's nothing wrong with inviting family relationship for a meal, is there? You know, they ought to do that once in a while. In-laws, nothing wrong with that. So I think Ahaz takes advantage of that. Ahaz's daughter, Athaliah, was wicked like Jezebel. Jezebel was so wicked. So was his daughter, as you read about her, and we won't go that route. But that's the reason, that's what brought them together. So I believe that Ahaz sent a letter to Jehoshaphat, come have a meal with us. Now, and it came to pass the third year, see, so they've been on, he's held off going out and fight, usually a yearly thing, but 3 years has passed. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel said unto him, to his servants, know you that Ramoth, he's talking now to Jehoshaphat, and then he said, know you not that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? He said, you know that belonged to Jerusalem, and we don't have it now. And he said, Jehoshaphat, will thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art my people, as thy people, and my horses, and thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, of the word of the Lord today. Boy, you know, Jehoshaphat, I don't know whether he really realized what he was doing there or not, but he was, that is something. He said, I'm as you are, I'm with you. I'll do it. But this next passage, part of this passage, teaches me a whole lot about Jehoshaphat. He said, well, before we go, though, let's inquire of the Lord. That shows me this godly man. He takes God with him wherever he goes. He went down to pagan country. He's eating supper or dinner with pagan man, the king, pagan king. But his God is with him. He brought God with him. He says, before we make this decision here, Ahaz, let's go to the Lord for an answer. See if it's all right. Isn't that what we ought to do before we make big decisions? We ought to then inquire of God. he did that. So it says there, and he said unto him, to me, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, of the at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up. The Lord shall deliver it unto thy hands. Get a picture here. What is really taking place here is outside the gate, there is two thrones. And this is the thrones out there is where the king sat to make rulings and so forth at the gate. So I get a picture of the gate here to the city. And here's the throne and a throne that they have had out there. Jehoshaphat is sitting here and Ahaz here. Now, Ahaz, you remember what Jehoshaphat said? He said, let's inquire of the Lord. So, Ahaz gets 400 of his prophets. And so they're sitting on the throne and the prophets is all around. And they say, inquire. Tell me, shall we go up against Syria or not? Now look at these prophets. And they say, go up. Go up. You'll win. You'll win. And that's where Jehoshaphat said, this is what Jehoshaphat says. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. At the word of the Lord. Not, he recognizes these prophets as not what they ought to be. In fact, Ahaz knows these prophets are not what they ought to be. But these prophets know that they got to speak what Ahaz likes to hear. And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together in the 400 and they said unto him, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead, the battle, and I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver thee. Hey, they can't speak for the Lord. They're lying. They're telling lies. They're doing that to appease Ahaz. Now, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord beside that we might inquire of? What's he doing? He's told Ahaz, your prophets, they're nothing. He's really indicted them. They're false. Isn't there another man, another person in his town that we can inquire of about for the Lord? And Jehoshaphat says, is there not a Lord here before? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is as yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, oh, don't talk about God's man like that. I mean, you can, if you visualize this conversation and so forth, you can kind of put some character into these people that's talking. Jehoshaphat, hey, don't talk about God's man like that. And so, now, I think just to appease Jehoshaphat, here we have Ahaz sends for Micaiah. Micaiah is a prophet under Elijah, and you know the power of Elijah. Micaiah, we don't know much about Micaiah, but we know he's in prison. And he's going to send for him. He's in prison. It seems like every time Micaiah has a message, and he's talked to Ahaz before, and he's told Ahaz what God has said, and Ahaz doesn't take that to be the truth. And he puts him back in prison. So you can visualize every time Micaiah gets out of prison and he gives a message, they throw him right back in prison. He's been there 3 years. He's been there 3 years right now. he was probably with in the clocks there with Elijah when he was talking about Jezebel and Nabob and so forth, and they probably put him in prison. Now he's been there 3 years. So he said, "Yeah, there's a man of God that we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Now, why does he hate him? And he says, then the king of Israel called in, because he doesn't agree with what I want to do. That's really, he speaks evil against me and not good and such. And so the king called the officers and said, hasten hither Micaiah. Now, the prophets down there has already talked to among himself and says, go, you know, and they're making the king feel pretty good. Yeah, go on up. Lord will deliver you. You'll win over. You have victory. You'll win. And they're telling him what he wants to hear. Ahaz knows that they aren't honest. Them prophets are not honest. He knows that. So he sends after Micaiah, and if you read on down there, the servant goes to the prison and gets Micaiah, and he's bringing him back to the gates here of the city. And here's what the servant says. Well, let's look. And the king called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the son. Hey, Ahaz knows where Micaiah's at. You know, one of the things that we're reading between the lines, one of the reasons probably Ahaz is keeping him in prison, he knows where he's at if he wants a word from the Lord. He knows that Micaiah is a prophet of God, and he speaks the truth. And so if he wants to know the truth, he can go to the prison and get Micaiah. So he sends him to do that. And the king of Israel said, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, each on his throne, putting on their robes and so forth. And Zedekiah, son of Kenaanai. Now Zedekiah, this is not King Zedekiah. If you remember when we came down the list of kings, Zedekiah was the name of the last king of Judah. This is not him. This is one of the prophets down there. And these prophets, you know, they know they must tell the king what he wants to hear. Why? Because they know which side of the bread their bread is buttered on. They eat at the king's table. Now, I think probably that's one of the problems we have today. I'm afraid that we have, God forgive me if I'm wrong, many, not false prophets, not pagan prophets here. I call them maybe that they are maybe God's people, but they're not speaking the truth. They are telling the people what they want to hear. We are seeing that across the nation. We see that in the political arena, don't we? The politicians, they just tell the people what they want to hear, try to appease them. And you know, someone has said that if you tell a lie enough, you'll begin to believe it. And they say if you will tell a lie out in the community enough, they will begin to believe it. What do we have here? We have 400 pagan prophets, I'll say. And they have all said the same thing. They have lied about what would take place. That's making Ahab probably feel pretty good, even though he knows it's a lie. You know, someone has said, how's it going? It's more pleasant to believe a lie than the truth. And sometimes it is. You know, sometimes a lie is more pleasant to believe than a truth. And we find that quite often among people. All the prophets prophesied and go up, and a messenger that was gone to after Micaiah spoken to him. So he's got Micaiah, he's coming back to the gate, and he said, now listen, Micaiah, let me give you some good advice. Isn't that something? Here's a servant of Ahaz, And he's going to advise the prophet of God. He says, Micaiah, let me give you some good advice. Said, now the prophet has already told Ahaz, King Ahaz, that if he goes into battle, he's going to win. Now, my advice is to you, when you get there, you tell him the same thing. And that will appease Ahaz, and he won't put you back in prison. He'll probably set you free. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him and said, go up and prosper. Now, you have to really know and appreciate Micaiah. That's sarcastic. Yeah. Those prophets already told him to go, and they know that's a lie. They know they told a lie, and that's not true. They just did that to keep their own self safe. And he said, yeah, go ahead, you'll win. Now, and King Ahaz is not so dumb. He's as wicked as can be, but he's not so dumb as he listened. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I say unto him, how many times, tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw Israel scattered as sheep on a mountain. What he said, you're dead. Ahaz, you're dead. And the sheep are scattered. That's really what he's saying there. And he talks about it. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Micaiah's left the impression, you go into battle, your day's done. And you can almost see Ahaz leaning over and say, Jehoshaphat, you see what I told you? He doesn't do anything but speak evil of me. Says, I'm a loser. He said, hear therefore the word of the Lord. He saw his sheep scattered. And so that we know then what's going to happen. I don't know whether that's a parable or not. It could be a parable that Micaiah made up. And it could truly be that he saw and the Lord spoke to him. Either one could be. Now, if it's a parable, it has to be true. And if it's a parable, it could happen. And of course, those things do happen. And so either way, he's saying, okay, you're done. You're done. And he said, well, now he said, well, take this Micaiah back and put him back in prison. And just give him crusty bread and water from a mud hole. That's really what that says. In other words, if Michael would look in his word thing that he has, he'll find that out. Hey, give him, how would you like to have a drink out of the mud puddle? That's what he said. Give him crusty bread and mud out. And what he's saying, when I come back, I'll just kill him. He didn't say, we don't read that, but I'm reading between the lines. That's his intention. Just put him back in there. Now, Micaiah says, if you come back, the only thing it'll do is prove that I'm not speaking the word of the Lord, but I'm speaking the truth. You're done. You're done. Ahaz is pretty sharp. So here's what he says. You can read that, and I'm not going to go on reading a bunch out there. Ahaz says, okay, we're going into battle. And he says, here's what we'll do. Jehoshaphat, you wear your robe, your crown robe. And I'm going to dress up as a captain of the army. And they won't be, see, he's pretty sharp. He's going to dress up as one of the army guys, and they won't recognize him. But they will see Jehoshaphat. Isn't that awful? He invites Ken folks down for a meal and gets him to make a covenant with him to go to war. But now he's going to put him in a position to get him killed. That's what he's thinking. They will kill Jehoshaphat thinking they killed me. And then I'll take victory. Didn't work, did it? They go into battle. And as they battle Jehoshaphat, you can't miss seeing him. They know he's a king. And they're told, as you continue to read, they're told, don't go after Jehoshaphat and all the other army. You just go after Ahaz. We want to kill Ahaz. But they go toward the one who's dressed in a king. And Jehoshaphat cries out to them, and they then come to know who he is. and they withdraw from him. And it says here that just as they were there, and I picture this, here's a fellow here, dude, he's got a bow and he's got an arrow, and he's fiddling around here, and he might even be up here near Jehoshaphat. I don't know where he's at, but I think he's up here in the conversation, you know, of Jehoshaphat and so forth. Whatever it is, he just takes that thing and shoots that arrow. And lo and behold, by chance, the armor that Ahaz has on, you know, it's like some, I picture it like some of these little blouses some of you gals wear, you know, and you got your shorts on and your little blouse, and there's about that much room between them right here. And it says that arrow went right through that little place, that little opening between his garment, and it went in behind his fifth rib, and blood started pouring out. And they propped him up in his chariot, and he made it the rest of the day with the blood pouring down in the chariot, and he died that night. So the army they went back. Everybody went back home. And fight's over. Joshua. And you say, well, now, listen, that's a little far-fetched. A man just shoots an arrow. Doesn't aim it, just shoots it. And it, by chance, lands right in that little gap between his armor and gets behind that fifth rib and kills him. It's not impossible, is it? Go back to David and Goliath. Was David such an expert with that sling that he could hit that very little opening in the helmet of Goliath? No. I would say that he was probably better with the slingshot than anybody else around Jerusalem. Probably was. But he's just not as good, you know, the rifleman. He doesn't miss. But he's not all that good. He'll miss sometimes. No. David slung that sling, and what it was? It was God that missiled that stone, and it was God that missiled that arrow. God told Elijah, God told Micaiah, Ahab, you're going to die. Now I want to finish up here real quick. Friends, here's a problem. Here's a problem I think we have today. We have too many people telling the people of the pews, I'll go on record and say, we have too many preachers who are telling the people of the pew what they want to hear. Appeasing them. They know where their bread is buttered. They don't want to move out of the parsonage. They want to get a raise. So they tell them what I read about this one church hiring a preacher. And one of the things they said, don't say anything against our congregation doing. Just say things they want to hear. Else we'll let you go. We'll let you go. I had one of the deacons, when I came here, one of the deacons, and he's no longer here. I can talk about him because he's no longer here. No, but it's nice, and it's all right. And I take it in good stride. We had one of the deacons that told me in a meeting that I had here with them when I came here, he said, one thing don't you do. Don't you say anything about other denominations, so forth. I didn't answer him. I didn't say I will or won't. I just didn't answer. Because friends, listen, sometimes you got to talk about what somebody else is doing. You got to warn somebody not be a part of what somebody else is doing. We've got people we've got preachers that are telling people what they want to hear. And here's the way you tell a preacher is just telling the people what they want to hear. Because you'll never hear him talk about repentance. He won't talk about sin. And he won't talk about hell. He won't talk about sacrifice, and he won't talk about service. You hear any preachers like that? All you have to do is plug on the TV. I haven't listened to him, but I'll guarantee you, you'll find him. Nothing about hell. and he just to please the people. That is one of the big problems we have in America today. That's one of the big problems we have in the church today. Listen, people, we need to warn people. Isn't that what God has sent us out to do? Yes, to tell people that God loves them and he sent his son to save them, but we need to tell them there is consequences when we reject him. There, that's sin, and sin is to be paid for, and a hell is the place where it's going to be taken care of. How many preachers do you hear say, in years past I've heard this, and I'm sure they're still doing it, put your hand on that television, and you recite this little prayer after me, and you'll be saved. Boy, that makes money come in. Done a good thing. He's led me to the Lord, and I'm saved. I'm bound for heaven. That's a lie. How many people have you heard to say, baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation? Yet, we studied this morning where Jesus said, go and baptize them. What's the reason? Mark says, go and baptize those who are baptized. Yeah, baptize them and so forth. And Peter says, you know, repent, be baptized for remission of sins. You're the reason. That as much as part of your salvation as anything else. But what are people doing? People are hearing. You know, I heard, I think it was this, probably John. Anyhow, he's a preacher, and he was preaching, and he said, now listen, women, I know you went to the hairdressers yesterday, but you need to repent of your sins and get baptized and get that hair wet, and don't worry about messing up your permanent. He said, the only reason that you won't come and accept the Lord is you got a permanent yesterday and you don't want to mess it up. That might be true. I don't know. In other words, they're saying, that has no effect on the salvation, but it's important. And many people, we need preachers that will stand up and say, listen, God loves you. And we are. We're to love everything and everybody. Even our enemies. But there's things we must do if we love somebody. We're going to tell them if they're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to tell them there is danger. And I tell you this morning across this nation, those people that are speaking to people who are just pleasing the people are leading them people into danger. Hell is next door. Warn them. You know, there's more preachers, I think, that wants to say things that appease and pleases the people than they are that wants to cry in the wilderness, you know, prepare the way of the Lord. Isn't that what we need? We need preachers who will stand up. Micaiah says, listen, you're going to die. You wicked, evil king, and God's judgment is coming upon you. Well, we have to hurry on and close here. We're getting past. We have a little thing of fun in our Bible class, you know, that we'll be there tonight in the book of Romans chapter 12. And, you know, at 6 o'clock, we have a fella back on the back row. He throws out his white handkerchief. And I'm afraid he's going to throw it out here in just a few minutes if I don't tie this up. And so we get done. But here's the point, and I want you to see, you know, if we don't listen to the truth of God, we're going to lose our life. That's the old crux of what's going on there. Listen, Micaiah could have been the best friend that Ahaz ever had because he spoke the truth of him. You're not a friend if you don't speak the truth to your friend about Jesus Christ. The best friend anybody can have is one that'll speak the truth. And I got a whole list I could go, and I can't do it because time's run out on us. But that's the message here. Listen to what the Word of God says. Not just to the preacher, but listen to what that Word says. Do what that Word says, and you'll win the victory. But if you don't listen to what the Word says, you're going to lose your life. That's what Jesus came for. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. The truth is in Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we're going to be lost. without repentance, without baptism, without service, sacrificing our lives to the Christ, we will be lost. That's the message, folks. God loves you, wants you to repent, wants you to be baptized, wants you to sacrifice in your life. You know, give up some of those things that you thought was more interesting or more profitable to God than what they are, and serve God. That's the message that comes from there. And so I hope and I pray that each one present here this morning understands the Word of God, is obedient to it, and I hope that you will share that. Just be a Micaiah, if nothing else. Be a Micaiah and warn those who are in danger. But if you're here this morning and you're in danger, we want you to come to the safety one, Jesus Christ, who will save you from destruction. Sing the first verse only. Thank you for being in Lord's house. Thank you for the encouragement give to one another as you come and participate in the worship service. Thank you for that. May God bless you with a great day, a great week, above all that you've ever experienced before. Come to be with us tonight in the Bible study, chapter 12 of the book of Romans, I think, and we'll have a good time together. Bless you. Thank you for being here. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for people of faith, people who will listen to the true Word of God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we go forth, that we will not just say things that please us people, but we will teach them, we will tell them, we will encourage them to abide by the true Word of God that your Bible speaks from. They might experience life and have it more abundantly, that they too will prepare and have the hope of eternal life. Heavenly Father, now we ask your blessing on each present here as we go our way. Grant us a safe week. Help us to be productive, Heavenly Father. Help us to prosper in your things, in your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.